Welcome back to Science TLDR. Always a pleasure having you with us.
Oh, yeah.
Today, we are taking a deep dive into a fascinating new preprint, Sequencing by Expansion, SBX, a novel high-throughput single-molecule sequencing technology.
Ah, sounds exciting.
It is. It really is. So this is hot off the press from Mark Kokoris and colleagues over at Roche Sequencing Solutions Incorporated.
Okay.
And this is version one, dated February 19th, 2025.
Very cool.
You know, nucleic acid sequencing has really become a cornerstone in so many areas of research. You think about the UK Biobank and all that data they've generated.
Right.
Techniques like PerturbSec that are giving us single cell resolution.
Yeah.
The Human Cell Atlas.
Amazing what we're able to do these days.
I know. We're really mapping out the cellular world, you
That's
know.
Sweet.
But the need for even faster, more cost-effective and accurate methods, that's really driving a lot of innovation.
Absolutely. We can always do better.
And this paper, they're really focusing on a specific area, nanopore sequencing. Now, nanopore sequencing initially seemed really promising. It's got that single molecule resolution, you know, by threading DNA directly through a nanopore. But it's run into some roadblocks, particularly with the signal-to-noise ratio that you need to be able to really clearly identify the bases.
Yeah, yeah. That makes sense. It's well, it's like imagine trying to read the label on a tiny grain of sand.
Right, or feel the difference between two very similar threads as they pass through a small opening.
Exactly. So where's this paper fit into that?
Well, they're looking at sequencing by expansion, or as they call it, SBX.
Okay.
And this is a new single molecule sequencing technology that came out of Stratos Genomics, which is now a part of Roche.
Oh, I see.
The basic idea is that you convert your target nucleic acid into what they call an expandamer or expander.
Expandamer, okay.
Yeah. Think of it like this. You take your DNA molecule and you transform it. You turn it into this much longer polymer that gives you a much stronger signal when you run it through that nanopore.
So it was like you're amplifying the signal by stretching it out.
It is. The authors actually say that these expandamers are over 50 times longer than the original DNA.
Wow.
Right? That's huge. You're increasing the physical length that represents each base 50-fold. I mean, that's not just a tweak. That's a fundamental change.
Yeah.
So this manuscript is focusing on, you know, that foundational work, the single pore system. They're looking at the molecular designs, the synthesis, the initial sequencing results. And they got all this data before Roche acquired Stratos back in 2020.
Uh-huh. So this is really like the groundwork, the foundation.
It is. And they hint at some very exciting things to come, future publications. We're talking about high throughput performance on, get this, an 8 million sensor array.
8 million.
8 million.
That's incredible.
Right. And they're mentioning applications like whole genome sequencing, PerturbSeq, spatial sequencing.
Wow. That's a big deal.
So really setting the stage for some potentially big advancements in the field.
Yeah, yeah. So let's get into the nitty-gritty then. How does this SBX actually work? How do they get around these limitations?
Well, the authors, they lay out the fundamental problem with direct DNA sequencing. They say, you know, it's really hard to distinguish the electrical signatures of those four bases as they go through the pore. It's really hard to get that resolution at that molecular level.
Yeah. It's like those tiny grains of sand again. You can't tell them apart, you know, just by feel. You need something more.
Right. And even though Oxford Nanopore has been able to generate these incredibly long reads, you know, they still have some error rates and they have trouble with those homopolymer regions, you know, those long stretches of the same base.
Right.
It impacts their accuracy and it limits their ability to be competitive in applications where you need that high throughput and that cost effectiveness.
Yeah.
So SBX, it kind of turns everything on its head. Instead of trying to read those inherent properties of DNA directly, they do this biochemical conversion. They create this expandamer. It's like a proxy molecule that's specifically designed to give you a really clear signal when it interacts with the nanopore.
So instead of reading the DNA directly, they're reading this expandamer. It's like a translator almost.
That's a great analogy.
Okay.
Yeah. And we talked about that expansion, you know, that at 50 times longer than the original DNA. That's what makes it work. It's like taking those tiny grains of sand and turning them into, you know, big, clearly labeled marbles.
Right.
So So the key principle here, the authors really emphasize this, is that they've decoupled the chemistry of converting the DNA into the expandermer from the actual measurement of the expandermer as it goes through the nanopore.
I see. So they've separated the conversion process from the reading process.
Exactly.
It's smart.
It's like having two separate teams of engineers. One's focused on perfecting that chemistry, you know, making that XP as efficiently and as accurately as possible. And then the other team, they're working on the nanopore itself. They're optimizing the physics and the engineering of the pore so that signal is as clear as possible.
So they're tackling the problem from both sides.
Exactly. They're able to fine-tune each part without one impacting the other. It's a really clever approach.
Yeah.
So how do they do it? What are the nuts and bolts of this SBX system?
Well, the authors point to five key innovations.
Okay.
The first one being these things called XNTPs, or expandable nucleoside triphosphates.
Okay, now these aren't your standard A, T, C, and Gs, right?
No, not quite. These are heavily modified. They've got all sorts of bells and whistles built in.
So what makes them expandable?
Well, they've got features that control how they're incorporated by the polymerase.
Mm, uh-huh.
They've got the part that actually causes the expansion.
Okay.
And importantly, each one carries a unique reporter molecule that creates a distinct signal in the nanopore.
So each XNTP has its own little identifier tag.
Exactly. And these tags are attached using a really neat reaction called click chemistry. It's very efficient, very specific.
Oh, cool. And they mentioned this translocation control element, or TCE, in the paper. What's that all about?
Right. So this TCE, it interacts with the narrowest part of the nanopore.
Yeah.
And it actually pauses the reporter molecule there for just a moment.
It's like a speed bump.
Yeah. It's like a little pause button.
Mm.
And that allows the system to get a really clear reading of that signal.
Makes sense. They also talk about an enhancer region with polyamines on the XNTPs. What's the purpose of that?
Well, that enhancer region helps the polymerase incorporate these really bulky XNTPs during the synthesis process. It's got a positive charge that interacts with the polymerase.
Yeah.
But they have to be careful because those same charges can mess with the nanopore readings later on.
Oh, I see.
So they neutralize those charges with a chemical modification.
Okay, so how do they actually get that dramatic expansion? I mean, how do the XNTPs actually make the expandermer so much longer?
It's really clever. There's this special bond in the XNTP that's sensitive to acid.
Okay.
So once the expandermer is built, they just hit it with a little bit of acid and that bond breaks.
Uh-huh.
And when it breaks, it inserts this whole extra section into the backbone of the XP.
It's like inflating a balloon, you
yeah,
know?
Yeah. Each time they add a base, they're essentially stretching out that expandermer even more.
I get it. Okay, so that's the XNTPs. What about the second innovation?
Yes. The PMs?
PMs.
Polymerase enhancing moieties. They're these special cofactors that help the polymerase do its job.
Right.
Without them, the synthesis reaction would just stop.
So they keep the polymerase going.
Exactly. They keep it from falling off the expandermer too early.
Got it. And how do they work? Do they know how they work?
Not completely.
Mm-hmm.
But they think these PMs interact with the grooves of the DNA XP header duplex that forms during synthesis.
Uh-huh.
And it somehow stabilizes the whole thing, allowing the polymerase to just keep on chugging along.
Interesting. So they did a lot of screening to find the best PMs, right?
Yeah. They tested a ton of different molecules, and they found this one, AZ43043. That works really well.
Okay. That brings us to the third innovation, the XP synthesis.
Right. That's the polymerase that actually builds the expandermer.
And they engineered it themselves.
They did. They started with a polymerase called DPO4, which comes from this heat-loving microbe. They chose it because it has a more open active site, which they thought would be better for handling these big XNTPs.
Mm-hmm.
But even then, the wild-type DPO4 could only add a couple of XNTPs before it gave up.
Oh, so it needed some tweaking.
It did. They made 36 mutations to the enzyme.
Wow, that's a lot.
It is. But they were very strategic about it. They focused on the areas around the active site and the surfaces that interact with the DNA, and it worked.
Yeah.
They were able to get much longer expandermers with high fidelity.
Wow. So they really retooled this molecular machine to do what they needed it to do.
Absolutely.
Okay, so what about the fourth innovation?
Well, that's the reaction condition.
Right.
They had to create this perfect chemical environment for the XP synthesis to happen.
Right.
They use a solid phase workflow where the DNA template is attached to a support in a flow channel. And they have to carefully control everything, the concentrations of the PMs and the XNTPs, the type of metal ion. They actually use manganese instead of magnesium, mm-hmm. which is unusual for DNA polymerase.
Well, that is interesting.
Yeah. And then, of course, the solvent, the buffer, the salt concentration. It's a very delicate balancing act.
Sounds like it. Okay. And the fifth innovation, the last piece of the puzzle.
That's how they actually sequence the expandamer, how they get it through the nanopore and read those signals.
Right.
So they use this alpha hemolysin nanopore.
Okay.
And they engineer the ends of the expandamer to make sure it gets threaded through properly. They have this hydrophobic region that helps it interact with the membrane around the pore.
Uh-huh.
And then a negatively charged region that guides it into the pore.
Oh, clever.
Yeah. And then they use this special voltage waveform to control how the expandamer moves through the pore. And each time that reporter molecule pauses, they get a nice clear signal.
So they've got the chemistry, they've got the engineering. It's a really, really well-designed system.
It is.
So what did they actually see? Did it work?
They did a proof of concept experiment where they sequenced a 222 base DNA template from Streptococcus.
Okay.
And it worked beautifully. They got over 900 reads that were longer than 10 bases.
Wow.
And 26% of those reads span the entire template. The median read length was 181 bases.
That's impressive. And what about accuracy?
That was the best part. They got a mean accuracy of 98.3%. 98.3.
That's incredible for a new technology.
It is. And when they looked at the types of errors, they were mostly substitutions from the polymerase and then some insertions and deletions from the nanopore itself.
Okay. And the signals, were they clear?
Crystal clear. They could easily distinguish the signal for each base. Really high signal-to-noise ratio.
Wow. So this really has the potential to be a game changer.
It does. The authors talk about the possibility of near real-time sequencing because the XP translocation events are so short.
Oh, that would be huge.
And then there's the scalability. I mean, remember that 8 million nanopore array?
Right.
They could potentially get a throughput of over 500 million bases per second.
That's orders of magnitude faster than what we have now.
Exactly.
And how does this compare to Oxford nanopore, which they mentioned in the paper?
Well, it's a little tricky to do a direct comparison.
Right.
But their raw accuracy is already on par with Oxford nanopore.
Yeah.
And potentially even better.
Wow. And with that throughput potential, I mean, it could really blow everything else out of the water.
It could. It's really exciting stuff.
So to sum it up, we've got increased accuracy, a simpler measurement process, and potentially less computational heavy lifting because of that high signal-to-noise ratio.
Exactly. This technology has the potential to revolutionize sequencing.
And the authors really see this as a stepping stone. You know, they're laying the foundation for implementing this on those large scale arrays.
Yeah, this is just the beginning.
This has been a really fascinating deep dive into SBX.
It has.
So what are the three big takeaways from the results section?
Well, first, they were able to demonstrate accurate single molecule sequencing mm-hmm. using the entire SBX system.
Okay. Number two.
They achieved high accuracy, 98.3%. And a good read length, 181 bases with a single nanopore.
And number three?
Clear signals. They're able to clearly distinguish each base with minimal noise.
It's really impressive work. And to think they've only just begun. I mean, imagine the possibilities with those massive arrays. It could really change how we approach genomics research and diagnostics.
Absolutely.
Well, thank you for taking this deep dive with me. This has been really enlightening.
My pleasure. It's always great to talk about cutting-edge science.
And thank you all for listening. We'll be back soon with another deep dive into the world of science. Until then, keep exploring.